Joining me right now to talk about it is 27-year veteran from the Houston Chronicle, Jonathan Fagan. You can follow him on Twitter at Jonathan_Fagan. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Doing really well. Thanks for taking the time to join us right here on Chicagoland Sports Radio. So to start off, we saw a little more chippiness in that game one where we saw the Rockets come out on top, blowing up both very lopsided wins for either side. But do you think there's a little extra competitiveness? Again, judging by game one, there is. But even with the cross-state rivalry, it's kind of seeing something to come in the future here?
No, I don't really think the cross-state rivalry has anything to do with it. The teams haven't played each other in the playoffs since 1995. And to really get the big rivalry thing, you kind of have to play each other in the playoffs. Maybe by the end of this series, there'll be some of that, but not right now.
It looked like there was a chance to come back from that deficit for the Rockets as both teams headed into the fourth quarter. Lack of finishing, only 13 points in that fourth for Houston. So are you concerned with that lack of finishing going forward in the series?
Well, it's definitely an issue. It's been a problem throughout the year in the matchups against the Spurs. Yeah, that was the case throughout the season where the Spurs are such a great finishing team. And that was kind of the difference in some of those very close games. Now, I don't know if that's been the case in this series because even though it was a three-point game with a minute left in the third quarter, it never felt like a close game. The Spurs were doing what they needed to do.
Looking at the role players before we get to James Harden here, we know that he's the alpha. We know he's an MVP caliber candidate with that great regular season. But between Ryan Anderson and Patrick Beverley, you can look at even Trevor Ariza. Who's the guy who needs to take the most slack off of James going forward in the series?
Well, the way their offense is built, there's not one guy. Because nobody else works to get his own shots. So it's all dependent on how the other team defends. James Harden reads and spreads the ball around. It can be a different guy every night. That's just how their offense is built. Now, I will say, Pat Beverly got good looks that he didn't finish last night, and Trevor Ariza did too. But it can be anybody any night because that's just how their offense is.
Talking to Jonathan Fagan from the Houston Chronicle right now, covering the Rockets on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. And let's go to James Harden now again. In the prime of his career, certainly the alpha, he had a pretty solid game one, a really great series against another MVP caliber candidate, and Russell Westbrook against the Thunder. But a lot of predictions were that Kawhi would be able to defend James Harden, and that's certainly the premier matchup. What does James have to do to try and get his offensive game going?
Well, some of it he just has to hit shots. He went 2 for 9 on threes. He's got to make a few more, and he's got to finish. Kawhi does a great job, and he kept James from being comfortable running his usual high pick and roll. But a lot of it was James not finishing over the bigs. He was getting to the rim and wasn't finishing. And so some of that's on Kawhi, making things difficult, forcing him deeper to where the bigs' length is a problem. But James has got to be able to finish on them. And then, you know, he had 10 assists on a night that the Rockets missed some really good open threes. And so some of that is also a little bit of the Rockets not hitting some of the good looks that they got. They make those shots. That gives him a little more space to work. Things fold together. So it's all within the offense how things click for him. But he does have to finish better the opportunities that he got last night.
Right. James Harden talked about Kawhi Leonard on defense. He said he just missed layups after that game. And Mike D'Antoni, who's been a journeyman of a coach over these last several years, has found his home in Houston. He's been great. Is he largely responsible for this great offensive kind of rebirth for the Rockets overall?
Well, it's a combination of things that all fit together very well. James's talents fit D'Antoni's philosophies. And then the roster moves all fit what they run to add the outside shooting of Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, eventually Lou Williams. The pick and roll center play of Nene and Clint Capella, it all fits. And then it all fits within the philosophy that the organization had. Even though they weren't always built this way, it still fits their tastes and their beliefs. So a lot of it all comes together, but clearly D'Antoni's offense, D'Antoni's beliefs, more than anything, fits James Harden's strengths.
Eric Gordon is a guy who has certainly had a tough career as far as full of injuries, but he's certainly finding his stride here. Is he definitely a key guy to go forward trying to win this series against the Spurs?
Yeah, without question. And he's been that all year. He's very, even though he's a sixth man, very important player for them. It's not just the spacing they get because of his shooting. They do need him to produce, maybe not as much as they did throughout the year since the addition of Lou Williams. So some nights, if one's not going, the other can. But Eric Gordon's a very important player for them. And didn't have a great game, too. He needs to knock down his shots. He generally shoots very well at home. So with him and Pat Beverly, it's very important for the Rockets that they start hitting those open threes.
We talked about the offense a bunch here, and these are both kind of running gun teams at this point. But as far as Dene Hilario and the front court, it seems like they've been able to contain LaMarcus Aldridge. Do you think Nene and other guys like Clint Capela can keep this effort going in their defensive efforts?
Yeah, I mean, Nene is a very good defensive player. And Clint Capela has been very active in this series. When he's active, he does have a quickness advantage, an athleticism advantage against the older, bigger Spurs big men. So LaMarcus has the skills to go off at any time. He was just dreadful in game one, bounced back a little bit in two. There's some of the shots he gets he can't take away. If he's to take turnaround, fadeaway, jump to the baseline, or some of the pick-and-pop elbow jumpers, they almost have to give them to take their chances. There's not a lot they can do. But, no, they're going to defend him well. They're not going to give him shots he prefers. He's going to have to make those.
Going back to Houston now, series shifts there starting tomorrow night and then picking up again Sunday. What are the keys as far as James Harden between the rest of the supporting cast? What do they have to do to close out this series?
Well, they have to defend better and play with greater energy, greater urgency. Win the 50-50 balls, protect the defensive boards. You know, as much as it would appear that it's about James not hitting, and of course if he hits his shots, everything looks a little different, but they weren't stopping the Spurs. Throughout game two, the Spurs were getting what they wanted. The Spurs are going to have to adjust a lot without Tony Parker. The likelihood is that Parker will be out. Patty Mills steps up, he can fill that void. But then you don't have Patty Mills off the bench. And so even more falls on Kawhi Leonard to act as sort of the backup point, as if he wasn't already doing enough. As the Spurs make all these adjustments, the Rockets' defense has to step up. They have to get the game back to where they have more firepower than the Spurs can match. I think it's going to be a series with every other win type of it's 2-1, 2-2, 3-2. And so the Rockets don't want to have to win a Game 7 on the road, but I think it's going to be a good, long, great series. That's what it looked like before it started. Two routes don't change that.
Definitely been great so far. You can read his work at the Houston Chronicle and follow him on Twitter at Jonathan_Fagan. Jonathan, thanks so much for the time, and good luck to the Rockets, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.